TV. My name is Pat Weichel, Architect Evangelist with Developer Platform Evangelism. Today, again, I'm very pleased to welcome Pat Helland, who is an architect with Microsoft, continuing our discussions on the multi-core processors. And today we're going to be talking about memories, guesses, and apologies. Pat, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Pat Helland, and again, I'm here to talk. This is an excerpt from a talk that I gave at TechEd Barcelona, and I'm repeating here at TechEd US, at TechEd North America. And this is excerpt from the Irresistible Forces Meet the Movable Objects. And this subset I like to call Memories, Guesses, and Apologies. And let's just get started. It's kind of hard to explain. So I want to start out, and I want to talk about inventory and forklifts. Okay? So even if the computer is accurate, data is entered by people or data is entered by sensors, and then the computer will decide to do something. And that's cool. Hey, Jim wants to buy a book. We've got one in Nevada. That's great. Let's ship it to him. He should get it on Tuesday. But in preparing the book for shipment, the only copy is run over by a forklift in the warehouse. Bummer. I guess the computer was wrong. So, that leads me to guessing and partial knowledge. Computers have partial knowledge. Why? They have partial knowledge because they will be separated from the real world. That computer couldn't predict that the warehouse was going to have the forklift run over the book. The book may have already been run over by the time that the decision to ship it was sent, and that it's going to be separated from the real world. And in addition, as we get into replication and spreading the state across multiple computers, the other computer might have a different opinion than this computer that's making a decision. So computers do not make decisions, they try to make decisions. The best you can do is a guess. Good guesses, bad guesses, but you have no certainty. A lot of times a good guess, but no certainty. Memories and sharing. It's actually really nice if you remember what you guessed as a computer and tell the other computers that are in the deal with you what's going on. It's nice if you guessed right, because then that helps the business. And if you guessed wrong, it's nice that they know and that you remember, because that also helps the business. And so usually computers remember their guesses. How do you do that? You do that by sharing, by replication, disaster protection, all that stuff you've heard us whine about for years and years and years. But the takeaway from this slide is that the more you want to remember, the bigger check you are going to write as a business. You're going to write a check for money to keep more data centers and bandwidth, but if you spend more money, you get less forgetfulness. You can have more replicas. But another point is, too, you have longer latencies to remember before you emit the guess. So if I'm going to send Pat a book, right, I have a replica over here, I have a question. Do I decide to tell my replica that I'm going to send the book? And then that covers the case where my data center gets, you know, knocked down by a tornado or something. But that takes longer. Or do I just tell him and run the risk that he heard me promise to do that and my backup has no idea that I've done that? These are real business decisions. It is a business decision about how much you want to invest in remembering well. And I want to plant the seed that it might be a smarter decision to once in a while screw up. It's part of life. It's a business choice. Speaking of screw-ups, let's go to screw-ups and apologies. Let's look at a situation where I have a computer and I have a user, and the computer says, I guess I can ship that book to you on Wednesday. So now, here comes the forklift. No more book. So the only thing you can do is say, sorry, current guess is next month, because we're out of inventory. So that's scenario number one. Let's compare and contrast that to scenario number two, in which you have two replicas of your information of your inventory and two simultaneous users. And in this case, this is not a book that's been very frequently ordered. And so each of them has a pretty good idea that it's not a bad thing to say, sure, I'll ship it. So User one hears, I guess I can ship that book on Wednesday. And user two hears, I guess I can ship that book on Wednesday. And the replicas communicate. And replica two tells replica one, I guessed I would ship that book. And replica one says, oh crap, I already sent it to user one. So now replica one goes and tells user one, sorry, current guess is next month. What I want you to look at is that the user cannot tell the difference between those two scenarios. The case where physical problems outside of the computation cause the lack of delivery can be the same as a properly designed replication scenario where we have replication anomalies, and those apologies are an intrinsic part of doing business. We recently had a thing where, you know, there was an airline that had to cancel a whole bunch of flights. Those reservations were accurately made, the computer did everything it was supposed to do, and things occurred, and it was time to cancel a whole bunch of flights. These things are part of life, and apologies are part of life. So let me introduce a term I made up called subjective consistency. If I'm at a computer, and I'm thinking about what to do, I have a collection of knowledge. I'm going to make a decision based on that collection of knowledge. Now, that decision might, in fact, be to wait for more knowledge, or it might be to say, what the heck? I can send you the book on Wednesday. So what I want to do is I want to remember all the knowledge I had and the information upon which that decision is made, and then record the decision as a memory that hopefully doesn't get lost as I spread it out throughout my other replicas. Now, other copies, other replicas, may have made conflicting decisions. Not very often if you're in a well-designed app, but sometimes it can occur. So then you want to come together and say, oh gee, what happened? How can I sort this out? And hopefully, programmatically apologize. I showed up at a hotel last night. They had canceled my reservation when I'd extended it by mistake, but they were able to find me another room, and that worked out within the deal. And the apology was not a big deal. It was fine. Very rarely will the computer need to and ask for human help in sorting through the apology, but sometimes that will occur. So let me again define subjective consistency as, given the information I have at hand, make a decision and act on it, and remember the information at hand. And I want to point out to you that back before the days of radio, ambassadors had authority. You were the king, you'd put the guy in the ship, they'd go on out there, and 2 months later you would find out if you were at war, because that guy could insult the other king and you were in deep crap because you were dealing with the war. And that was the only thing that you could do, because the latency of communication between the different countries was so large that you needed to send out someone with authority. We're getting into that world in distributed systems now, where we need to be making decisions rather than trying to pretend that we have all the knowledge immediately available to us. That leads me to a very well accepted term in the industry called eventual consistency. The idea is that when the various replicas exchange their knowledge and everybody knows the same knowledge, they'll have the same decision, the same outcome based upon that same knowledge. So I'll show you yours if you show me mine, and then we'll figure out how to come to the answer. Not everything does this. This is a new design requirement. So I'm going to exchange the knowledge with my replicas, and then we will make a decision based upon what we know. But now I know more. Oh, I know that I said to ship the book on Wednesday, and my evil twin also decided to ship the only book on Wednesday, and so now we're short a book. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to tell the guy I promised to ship the book to, I'm sorry, you're not going to get it when I thought you were going to get it. Again, that's based upon the knowledge I have, so it's subjective consistency, but given an exchange of knowledge, we'll come to the same answer over time. So eventual consistency is, given the same knowledge, produce the same results. Everyone sharing their knowledge leads to the same results. Again, this is not magic. It is a design requirement. And we're going to talk in a moment about idempotence, commutativity, and associativity of the operations being necessary in order to make that requirement be fulfilled. So let's show an example of eventual consistency. How might this work? Imagine I have the same knowledge, the same stuff smeared across five machines because they're flaky machines. They don't have battery backup power, for example, so they're only 99% available. But any one of them will do, and I got five of them, so that's 10 nines availability. That's pretty darn good, as long as I can cope with the chaos we're talking about. And in this case, I have five replicas, but they've all decided that replica one for this portion of the data is the one that's going to take the lead. That's the big brother. And two, three, and four, and five are going to only take over if they don't see any action out of replica one. So there's a probability distribution of who's going to fire and do the work based upon that configuration. So in comes a request to ship Jim a book. And replica one says, you bet, shipment ID equals X. Now, if those backups are going to be useful, there is intractably a window in which multiple firings occur. This is the essence of it. Even with hot log shipping failover and human intervention, the work can sometimes be done twice. What's going to happen when that occurs? Well, in this case, let's imagine R2 jumps the gun, and so he decides to ship it, but the shipment ID is Y. Now, when R1 notices that R2 shipped it with shipment ID Y, he says, oh crap, we've got a mess to clean up. Now, somehow there's a business rule which picks which shipment survives. And I'm, in this case, imagining that if X is less than Y, we keep the lower numbered shipment ID, not because R1 did it, but just because it's a lower number and that adjudicates it. And so we have a business rule, if X is less than Y, we'll cancel Y. Now, when R2 notices that it was shipped by R1 and it sees X, he also cancels Y because X is less than Y when processed on R2. So they both decide, let's cancel Y. Now, R3 is watching all this and he sees the mess and he says, oh crap, and so he cancels Y too. Now, R4 and R5 are a little bit behind, so by the time they see the work, they also see the cancellation, and so they know they don't have to do it. This is an example of eventual consistency. Most often, the shipment would be canceled in time. With low probability, two books would get shipped, right? But this is a scheme which allows you to build on top of much flakier implementations, much flakier replicas, and still get high availability. To cap this off, I believe in what's known as the cap conjecture, which has been recently proved, so I guess it should be called a cap theorem, which says that consistency, availability, and partition tolerance, you can only pick two. So by this consistency, I mean the classic transactional consistency. And by partition tolerance, I mean I got a bunch of replicas and not all of them can talk to the other ones, okay? So you only get two of those things because all of the protocols which keep consistency will sometimes not be available. What I am proposing is an explicit relaxation of classic consistency. When you combine subjective consistency with eventual consistency, that gives you a different application semantic than the classic transactional one, and we as architects are going to need to pay attention to these issues and what that looks like. This is an economic-based argument. The cost of buying cheap machines is so low, and people want disconnection, scaling, and cheap data centers enough to make subjective and eventual consistency work for an increasing number of applications. The internet is not transactionally consistent. This used to upset me. Now I'm excited about it and want to talk about how can we continue with that model. So the classic transactional acid that you heard me talk about back when I had hair, right, is atomic, consistent, isolated, and durable. Atomic is all or nothing. Consistent, keep the rules of the system. Isolated, don't show concurrent work. Durable, don't lose committed changes. The goal for transactional ACID is to make it look like one thing at a time is happening, no matter how complex the work. It looks like a single machine. The programmers can pretend it's on a single machine and nothing's moving around while the transaction's locked. And that used to work great when we were running on one machine. But this is your object on ACID. The new ACID is associative, commutative, idempotent, and distributed. Associative, A plus B plus C is the same as A plus B plus C. Commutative A plus B is the same as B plus A. Idempotent, I can do it a whole bunch of times and get the same answer as if I did it once. Distributed, it's spread out and independent. The goal of this is that you can't tell the order in which the work is done, and you can't tell how many times the work is done. And if we have these properties in our applications or in our services, which are components of the application, then that means that we can run them on top of a whole bunch of unreliable stuff, which will lower the cost. So the goal of the new ACID is to recognize the work will be done by lots of unreliable machines. They will have different sizes, shapes, purposes, and deployments. And I would point out this is just like people in societies. And I'm not trying to be a butthead, but, you know, people are made up of cells, and each of these cells is replaceable, and societies are made up of people, and when people are gone, individuals are gone, the society continues on. And that is part of what makes a healthy system work. And we've got to move into that as we deal with the evolution of our distributed systems. Now, I want to point out, this is not for everything, but it is for just a huge amount of the work we do. I flew here on an airplane. It used fly-by-wire, and that was a real hard real-time system. What that means is there's a fixed amount of input going into the network that's running the airplane, and you can guarantee that that work will get processed within a bounded period of time, absolutely guaranteed. It's very comparable to having a freeway lane for every car. It's expensive, but you can guarantee that you're not going to get stuck in a traffic jam getting to where you want to go. Appropriate for some applications. There are other environments where the apology is prohibitively expensive. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to launch the missile. That just doesn't always cut it, right? You typically want to choose consistency over availability and shut down the launch. Although that's not 100% true if you're actually calculating what to do in a war, right? And so this opens up, but I want to point out I'm not being religious or dogmatic over availability over consistency. I'm trying to say that it's a business decision as to what the right trade-offs are. But almost all the work we see going on, that, you know, e-commerce, business, finance, healthcare, the list goes on of things where you actually want availability over consistency, and that's where the new ACID is the important thing. So that's what I wanted to share with you on this mini lecture excerpted from my talk today.
Thank you so much, Pat. What a great new paradigm to start thinking about application development.
Yeah, being on ACID's great.
Yeah, I agree. Well, once again, Pat Helland, I appreciate all of your time today. Folks, be sure to visit Pat Helland's blog. What's the address again?
I'm at blogs.mscn.com/Pat Helland.
So thank you again, Pat. Be sure to join us again on artcast.tv.
Thanks, Pat.